providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition. In this segment, I am chatting with Jayan Bhandari. He is well known to all of our audience, but for all of our new listeners, Jayan is, I guess, best known for being an advisor to institutional investors in the resource sector, driving the whole way down and really specializing in some of the more junior companies. But Jayan, I first want to start off with an email that you sent out to some of your followers that discussed an update on what's going on in India and the Indian government, which is, I guess, weighing the idea of potentially imposing some pretty serious restrictions on gold and gold ownership. Can you give us a little rundown of what you're hearing about what the Indian government might do?
So, Corey, thanks for having me. Over the last 4 or 5 years since the time Modi government has been in power for, it has continued to increase huge amount of restrictions on freedom to do with monetary exchanges, freedom to do with how you transact with each other, and in terms of how you do business. First, they demonetized 86% of Indian currency notes about in 2016 November, and then they imposed a completely new taxation system called GST, and India did not have GST before that. So it both these things have created a huge, huge amount of problems in the economy. And it seems very clearly that government of India is moving towards restricting ownership of gold right now. And something will come out about this within the next 2 or 3 days, it seems. And what they will very likely do is that they will impose limits on how much gold you can own. And if you do own more gold than what they want you to own, then they will very likely tax you for owning that gold. And this is the rumor in the market, but this is a very serious rumor. And there are news reports on that as well.
So, Jayan, in terms of the citizens in India, what is this making them do? This is obviously bringing a little bit of fear into their eyes, especially if they hold a lot of gold. But does that mean they're going out and buying more gold, or are they starting to sell their gold? What are they doing?
Well, my first reaction is that why don't these people revolt? This is absolutely crazy. The oppression and the involvement of government in your day-to-day activity is just horrendous. Today, I can't go to a bank in India and deposit 10,000 rupees, which is about $100, $200 in cash without filling up several forms. People just don't rebel against these things in that country. And that is so sad. Now, what does that mean in terms of people wanting to own gold? What people do is that people hide their gold. They don't even want to keep their gold in bank lockers anymore. Many of the Indian financial institutions are collapsing. And this is something that the international media is not covering very well, from what I know. At least one bank is a bank which has shut its door, which means that people cannot take their cash out. At the same time, government has forced people to keep their cash in the banking system. Now, how does it add up? I don't know, because if government wants you to keep all your cash in the bank, they should also guarantee that cash in the bank. But the government of India does not. The problem with all this demonetization and new taxes is that economies is stagnating. The normal guy, the poor guy has no job, and he is earning less than what he used to earn four years back. So this is the problem with the country. People want to buy gold because economy is not doing well. But of course, people don't have a lot of cash these days. So there is this, of course, this problem with people that they want gold and they don't have enough economic strength to buy gold right now.
So, John, do you see any of this, say, the Indian government does go through with some restrictions or they do start taxing some people that hold a large amounts of gold? Do you see this trickling into the gold market in terms of any sort of price fluctuations?
I don't think so, because Indian gold cannot leave the country because price of gold in India is about 10% higher than the international price because of its smuggling cost and because of the cost of import duty. So this gold will not have any effect, in my view, in the international market. In fact, what will very likely happen is that Indians will buy gold in Dubai and Singapore and keep their gold outside the country. There has been an exodus of Indian capital from India over the last few years. And if you look at Dubai and Hong Kong, Singapore, even the US and Canada, you see a lot of Indian money arriving in these countries. And this will pick up even higher pace if Indian government continues to make life difficult for wealth generators.
So, Jayant, if, let's say, these Indian people move some of their purchases to some other markets, could we see some of those disconnects between, say, the stated price in the U.S. and the price in other countries? We've seen this happen before, and the gold bugs always point to some of these dislocations as saying, look, at the price should be much higher, and the price is going to catch up in whatever market, usually the U.S. market, in terms of U.S. dollar gold price, and that's what's going to drive the gold price. Do you see the potential of this occurring again, where some other countries' gold is just more expensive?
I don't know, Corey, about this, because gold is such a fluid commodity. The price takes care of, adjusts all over the world at the same time. But having said that, remember, gold price has done very well. This year, the gold price has done very well. It has been very stable as well, because people recognize that there's a lot of geopolitical problems in the world. And those problems are happening even more in countries in the Middle East and in Indian subcontinent, people who are actually the biggest buyer of gold.
Hey, you are right. Gold has done very well this year, and a lot of it is on the back of people understanding that the global economy is in some trouble. Central banks have also switched more dovish. There's a lot of reasons to be optimistic for the gold price moving forward, but quite frankly, right now, gold seems to be stuck in a range, but you know what? At least it's a higher range. But let's talk about where you might be seeing value in some of the stocks, because quite frankly, it's been a very selective game for some of the metals equities. Junior stocks are still very much struggling, having trouble raising money, and quite frankly, the share prices are not going anywhere. Some of the majors are doing better. But what about for all those junior, even mid-tier investors? Where are you seeing some value?
Well, let's look at a couple of companies, Corey. One company is Maritime Resources and Anaconda Mines. Now, Anaconda Mines came out with what I thought was a very good news release this morning, and the market seems not to have reacted to that news. There is, in my view, a nice upside in owning this company. In my view, based on the production profile that they released about a couple of weeks back, which again, market ignored, I have a view that this company will be a profit-making company when the next financials come out. Now, in my view, there's a nice upside, and I think there's going to be a merger between Anaconda and Maritime happening within the next 1 year. So there will be at least another upside based on a merger, and I think this will be a very win-win merger, because what is happening in that area is that three companies, Anaconda, Maritime, and Rambler, have to crisscross each other's mill and mining projects, which makes no sense. They should be one company, and that will create a huge amount of economies of scale.
Yeah, well, you know what? It was Anaconda that was trying to take over Maritime. I believe it was about a year to two ago, and that was unfortunately stopped by the Maritime management, who managed to more or less delay that acquisition and raise some money on the back of that. But now that you think it's happening, do you think that investors should be trying to take a move ahead of any sort of news, or is this something that you're going to be waiting for a deal to be announced and then be able to dive into the financials, see what kind of economies of scale these companies can utilize, and then maybe buy into the shares?
Well, I mean, the best time to invest is when market is not paying attention to these companies. When everyone wants to buy these companies, I want to sell my shares. This is, in my view, among the best time to buy such companies, when you position yourself to make a good amount of upside without risking too much of your capital, which means that you buy at a price when the downside support is very good. And I think Anaconda at 20 cents and Maritime at 8 cents provide you a very good downside support. And remember, the management of Maritime is now completely different. So they are friends with people in Anaconda, from what I know. So they don't really have the bad feeling that the earlier management had about Anaconda.
Okay, yeah, that's a very important change that happened there, because it was the old management at Maritime that was very resistive to, well, getting any sort of a deal done. Does that mean, though, that you're focusing more on some of these producing companies, whether small or large, because when the price moves up, they produce some better cash flow numbers? Is that your focus more than exploration right now?
I am actually interested in anything that offers me value. Anaconda not only has a profit-making project from what I can see based on their latest production numbers, but they have an exploration project as well, which actually is what gives them a lot of value. So Anaconda, in a way, is an exploration company. It is, of course, a mining company, but for me, the real upside comes from the exploration project, on which they did a news release today, and the grades are higher and the ounces are bigger. So that makes me very good about this company.
All right, Giant, we're going to wrap it up there. I will also reach out and try to have both Maritime and Anaconda on the show to discuss some of what they're working on. Obviously, they won't be able to say much about any potential merger acquisition there, but yeah, some of the exploration upside plus the better numbers from production should, well, be looked at favorably by the market. Giant, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking time on this weekend show. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you for the opportunity, Corey.